Hello. We are finishing off a preaching series that we've been in for the last few weeks called Dear God About Today, looking at a bunch of questions that we might ask as Christians as we go through the kind of nitty-gritty and often mundane of life, and been aiming really to equip us as Christians to live for Christ in the nitty-gritty and mundane of life, which, let's face it, is the majority of life. So it's when we're at home or at work or at school or at church. It's, you know, when we're the detail, it's when we're kind of unloading the Tesco delivery that's come, or when we're trying to force our kids into the bath or something like that. In every area, we've been asking questions like, is the Bible any good to me today? What's the point of the church? Am I allowed to share my faith these days? Is God in control? Does he care? Do we need God? Can he heal me? All these kinds of questions as we go about the kind of nitty-gritty and detail of our lives. Today, as we finish up, we're asking a question which is not so much for the nitty-gritty, but for those times when we kind of have a few minutes to think, when we, you know, the rare moments when we put our phones down and we're not thinking about the next week's calendar, but actually thinking a bit more about the next few years of our lives. We're asking the question, am I doing the right thing today? Dear God, am I doing the right thing today? What am I doing with my life? Am I making the most of it? Does God have a plan for my life? Am I walking in God's plan? And some of you, as you watch and listen, are already there. You're already thinking about a kind of a big life decision or exploring an option for change. And you're praying for clarity. I hope this is helpful. I hope God speaks to you this morning. Be ready for him to speak to you. Maybe you're not quite there and you're not thinking these questions naturally at the moment. We don't need to be, you know, weird and intense. But it is good to ask questions like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what God has called me to do? One of the reasons that's a good thing to do is because in the world that we live in right now, in the secular world, there is, I'd say, a crisis of meaning. We actually have comfort aplenty, comfort in abundance, even in 2020 with all the things that have made it difficult, we're still pretty comfortable. We have loads of comfort, but meaning is lacking. And we often try and fill the void, the meaning void, by adding more comfort in. And we say, oh, let's just go get a gingerbread latte. You know, let's sign up to Disney Plus. That'll help us out. When actually what we need is more meaning, not more comfort. What is God calling you to for the rest of your life? It's a good question to ask. And I need to recognize right off the bat as well that age is not a factor here. You feel like you've got a lot of life ahead of you, then ask these questions. But if you don't, then if you've got a pulse, then you have a part to play, and these questions are worth asking. I'm going to do it in two parts as we look at this. Firstly, looking at the right thing. Am I doing the right thing? Looking at a kind of general and universal right thing. There is a calling, there is a right thing over all of our lives, and it's the same for us all. So we can state it pretty clearly. There is a clear thing for every one of us to do. But then we'll also, in the second part, we'll look, there's a specific or a personal right thing for you. We all have different paths to take, slightly different ways to fulfill the universal calling on our lives. And because we're all different, that's kind of harder to state and define. So I'm going to look at a series of questions that we can ask ourselves to help find the specific right thing for our lives. I'm going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 and the first eight verses in there as we do that. So this is Romans 12, 1-8. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we're going to look at a general, universal, right thing for you, and then a specific and a personal one. The general, the universal right thing that we should all be doing with our lives can be summarized as give yourself to God. That is the right thing to do today. The passage says, offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is, across the globe, the right thing for us to do with our bodies, with our whole lives. And if we are not doing that, then we are not doing the right thing, because that's what we're made to do. Giving yourself to God, like you give a Christmas present. When you give a present, it's not a kind of shared ownership. It's not a, hey, here you go, you have it some of the week, I'll keep it the rest of the week. There's no take back. You think, oh, actually, I'd like it back. It's not only for kind of certain days. You say you have it, or certain occasions. You have it when you're with your friends, maybe, and I'll have this present when I'm with my friends. No, you give a gift, and you give it totally and utterly. The right thing for us is to give ourselves totally and utterly to God. It's just to unpack that. It starts here. Give yourself to God because he has given himself for you. The first word of this passage that we've read is totally vital. Therefore. So I'm reading from chapter 12. So there have been 11 chapters that have gone before this, where Paul, the writer, has basically been outlining the Christian message, the gospel. And he says, now it gets to this point, and he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, with all of this in mind, the fact that God has given himself for you, give yourself to him. Just, you know, any number of verses that we could take from the first 11 chapters of Romans 1. For example, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave himself for us when we were not even thinking of God, when we were still sinners. He did it first. The right thing for you is to give yourself to him, but he started it. So we're not looking by giving ourselves to God to earn God's favor or to earn eternal life or anything like that. Christ has already won that for us by his grace, and we respond to his grace by giving ourselves to him. And if we don't first understand that he has done it for us, it will be impossible for us to really give ourselves to him. Only grace leads us to truly do that, but grace does lead us to it. When we have grasped what God has done for us, we will naturally give ourselves to him. The where it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. The word that's translated as true and proper could also be translated as reasonable, a kind of logical. This is the only reasonable response to all that God has done. When you understand God's grace, nothing else makes sense but to give yourself to him. It's vital we know that and start there. And giving yourself to God will be costly. We are called to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. It's giving up our whole life to God is the right thing. So there's no area that is untouched. Our family, our work, our Tesco shopping, our holidays, the TV we watch, is all given over to God sacrificing your whole life. And maybe you're listening and you think, all right, well, I'm out then. That is where I draw the line. Well, the truth is, firstly, you know, that you haven't need to focus on God's grace to you, but also, in reality, we all give ourselves to something. What you give yourself to is what you sacrifice for, what you worship. So if you give yourself to your kids, then you are sacrificing for them, worshipping them. You're dependent on their approval and their presence, and it will crush you ultimately. If you give yourself to your career, you're dependent on the success of your career, and that will come and destroy you. And maybe you think, oh, I don't give myself to anything. I'm truly independent. Then you are giving yourself to independence, and that is what you sacrifice. And you'll die a lonely death on the altar of independence. We cannot avoid giving ourselves to something. Only giving ourselves to God in Christ is the only thing that can actually lead to freedom and fulfillment and meaning. And that's because of who God is. There is meaning to be found there. When this passage says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, the people who originally heard this read and read this would have immediately thought of animal sacrifice, an offering, a lamb on an altar. But it says a living sacrifice. So they would have known that you slaughter the lamb first and then put it on the sacrifice. Someone said, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep walking off the altar naturally. So as we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, we need to get back on the altar every day and give ourselves to God. Giving yourself to God will clash with the world's ideas. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Clashing with the world's ideas is one of the ways this is going to be costly to us. I was talking with some friends the other day. We were talking about bringing up kids, and one of their kids had a non-school uniform day at school, and they wanted to go dressed as a superhero, but the parents knew that no one else in their class was going to be dressed as a superhero. And we were just talking about, like, to what extent do you just say to your kids, you know, you be yourself, you do what you want to do, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. And when do you say, hang on, yeah, but maybe it's a good idea to not do that on this occasion. And we got to what we were talking about. Well, ultimately, actually, as we're bringing up our kids to give themselves to God and trying to disciple them in living for Jesus, then we're going to have to say to them something. Well, you are going to be different. You are going to clash. You are going to stand out and be different. It's true for our kids and it's true for us. The world is trying very hard to get you to conform. Millions of pounds are being spent on marketing campaigns to conform you to an idea, as well as just our peers. Naturally, it happens. The media is doing it. Social media is literally making you the product and trying to control your desires and wants. It is hard not to conform to the pattern of this world. But walking in God's calling requires us not to. Actually, we're called to a beautiful resistance. We're called to life in the Spirit, one of the things Romans has been talking about. So don't conform to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means we need to think differently. Think about our lives and the world differently to the way other people do. And it's actually by not conforming, when we do not conform, that's when we help to find out what the right thing is for our lives. Do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. Give yourself to God because he has a plan for you. This is another reason to do it, why it's worth doing. God has a plan for your life. Your life is not random. It is not meaningless. You need to know this. God has a plan for your life. Because you might be asking yourself, I don't not just know if I'm doing the right thing today. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know how I got here, like, and how my life ended up like this. Do I actually believe God has a plan? Do I have any idea what that plan is? You need to know God has a plan for your life. Again, this verse, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. He has a will for your life. Plenty of other verses in the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has plans for you and for me. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God, when you think about your life, God has a plan for you. The way to walk in it is to give yourself to him. Giving yourself to God. That is the universal, the kind of general right thing for your life. As you think, am I doing the right thing today? Well, give yourself to God. Give yourself to him. And maybe you're not a Christian as you're listening. Well, it's great to have you. You know, glad you're here and listening. It is the right thing for you to give yourself to God because he's given himself for you, because he loves you and Christ has died for you. Come and give yourself to him. Maybe you're already a Christian. Give yourself to God in every moment. That is the right thing for your life. And when I said, you know, we need to kind of daily get back on the altar and daily give ourselves, it's not because we need to be saved again every day or anything like that. It's just if we really want to walk in God's plan and God's best for our lives and make the most of it, that's what it means. And there's also a specific calling on your life. There is a particular plan, a particular right thing. That applies to those verses I just read as well, Jeremiah 29. There is a plan for you to give yourself to God, but there is a specific one that God has for you as well. So I have five questions for you to ask yourself to help you try and discern the specific right thing for you. I can't kind of say here's a blanket statement, this is what the right thing for you is, but hopefully this might help you to think for yourself, what is the right thing for me to be doing with my life? What is God specifically calling you to? First question to ask yourself, how has God gifted me? Verse 6 and 7 of the passage we read says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesying in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's not natural for us, I think probably particularly for us Brits, to say that God has gifted us. I am gifted by God in this area. But it's actually, you know, in the right context, not cocky necessarily to do that. It can be the opposite if we do it with a good heart. We're recognizing it's not me. I haven't just kind of been amazing at this. Actually, God just has given me a gift by his grace. And it is a fact. It is said as a fact in verse 6. It starts with, we have different gifts. You are gifted. You are gifted. The Bible says it. And the Bible says, use your gift. It's beautiful how God has gifted us all in different ways. We're all better at some things and not others. One of the clearest ways we see this, I think, is whenever we would do as a church, we do any kind of event, particularly a fun day. Remember events and stuff like that? They were fun, weren't they? We'll get there. But if you've ever done like a Grace Church event and been part of a setup of it, there are certain people, I do not understand them at all, but they just kind of rock up and they know what to do. I'll go and get this stuff out here and I'll lay it out here, and they just create these jobs for themselves and they're just like a machine going and doing it. They're gifted in how to do that. I don't possess that gift. I'm more one of those people, and you can spot them if you look, that I just kind of turn up and stand like a lemon and think, oh, what can I do? Everyone just looks like they've got a job. And I need someone to come up to me and say, Joe, could you fold the napkins like this and put them out like that? I need some very clear instructions in those moments. Because we're all gifted differently. And it's beautiful, really. When you're thinking about what is the right thing for you today, a good place to start is think, well, where's God gifted you? What are you good at? Do that. Seek that. You feel prophetic stirrings? Then prophesy. Share what God's put on your heart. You find people naturally follow you and listen to you? Then embrace that and lead people diligently and thoughtfully. Maybe you kind of have a lot of creative ideas. I'm kind of that. I'm an ideas guy. If you're an ideas person, share your ideas. We need creativity right now. If you're good at making plans a reality and kind of saying, oh, that's what you want, yeah, I can execute that, then come and serve and do that. That is not me. I am not good at making things happen in that same way. Am I doing the right thing? Am I using the gifts that God has given me, the good characteristics that God has given me? It's a good place to start. Secondly, how can I give myself to others? So verse 5 says, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You belong to your brothers and sisters. You belong to the church. So you are gifted for the sake of other people, at least as much as you are gifted for your own sake. It's kind of similar to the first question, but it's framed differently. And you can think of a human body, that's the picture that Paul is using here. A hand doesn't just think, you know, how can I flourish in my gifting and be all that I'm meant to be? A hand thinks, how can I contribute to the body and help the body be all the body is meant to be? We're being selfish when we're not using our gifting, is the reality. So as you think about, you know, the right thing for you, think about giving yourself to others. What does that look like for you? It's partly, where is there a need? Where is there a need? How can I use my gifts to serve that need? And the main context of this passage is brothers and sisters. It is in the community of believers. So it's not just, when we think about this, it's not just about, you know, what team to serve on in the church and how you serve in the church. But it's not about that either. And as we do eventually, inevitably, come out of lockdown phase, whatever we're in, and start meeting and having kids work and welcome and tea and coffee and all the rest, we're going to need to be thinking like this: how can I give myself to others? I understand that many of us have felt in some ways refreshed by the break in the kind of relentless serving. And there's some value in that. But we do need to be thinking, maybe I could do, I actually want to step back from this. We need to be thinking of others as much as ourselves. Hang on, where is there a need? Where do we need to kind of all come together again as a body and make things happen as and when we can? But it is also beyond the context of the local church. So we are to love our neighbour, and our neighbour includes everyone. It includes our enemies. We are all called to bless this world in different ways, but we are all called to bless this world. Thirdly, what do others say about me? Be quick to listen to godly advice. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. We can feel particularly isolated and secluded right now, but you need to know that you're not. We are in a community of wisdom and love. And we don't need to act or to think about our lives, think, am I doing the right thing? Like we're living in a vacuum. We don't need to think and address these questions on our own. Kind of relates to the first one. So if you struggle to identify your gifting, ask someone who you trust and who knows you well to help you identify it. I've seen godly people make big decisions in their lives without really talking to people. And I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Don't do that. Let's talk. Not to just anyone, right? Don't just talk to anyone. Talk to people you trust, your life group leader. Talk to me, whoever who you can trust. Big questions worth asking are worth talking about together. Fourthly, am I praying about it? You want to know the right thing, then ask God. Pray. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. God rarely makes it blindingly obvious what path we should take. And I think he does that deliberately. He does it so that we lean on him and give ourselves to him. But I have found that he does gently guide us, and he opens and closes doors when we seek him. Do this and ask God what his plan is for your life till the day that you die. And fifthly, what do I want to do? Now, this is potentially slightly controversial and certainly the most subjective one, because I have some ungodly thoughts in me, right? So to be thinking, what's the right thing? What do I want to do? Can be subjective. But in connection with all of the other questions we're asking, it is a good question to ask. When we are giving ourselves to God, the Spirit, he works in our hearts and our minds to produce strong desires for particular service in the church, at home, in the workplace. God, in his grace, wires our hearts to want the things that he calls us to. I hear people say, God, I'm glad God has not called me to that. Well, that's why God hasn't called you to it, because you read it. Or I really hope God doesn't call me to that. He won't call you to it unless he wires your heart to want it. There's three safeguards I've got for this one, as long as we're taking it with all the other things, these as well. So when we think about this and what do I want to do, these desires need to be persistent. So they're not kind of a flash in the pan. I go through phases and fads. It's not that. The desires that you kind of just can't shift, even if you try. Secondly, they're strong. So similar to that one, the persistent, but you just can't ignore it. So it's not something that you're vaguely interested about, but something you're deeply passionate about. And thirdly, they're not awakened when you're walking in sin, when you're distant from God. So you're kind of not doing church, not reading the Bible, not praying. All of those things are a given, I'm kind of assuming this morning, when we're seeking God for the right thing. Desires that come in our hearts when we're distant from God are not reliable to walk in. What are my persistent and strong and holy desires? And we're thinking about the plan God has for our lives, the right thing. They're often good indicators of what God is calling us to. I hope those questions are helpful as you think about the specific and personal right thing, the thing that God has planned for you. They're good questions to ask. Take some time to ask yourself these questions. Do have moments where you stop and pause and reflect and think about questions like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the thing that God has called me to? Just as I finish, though, I want to bring us back to the general, the universal right thing. Giving yourself to God is the right thing for you to do. It's the right thing for you to do today and tomorrow for the rest of your life. Giving ourselves to God as Christians, it's our bread and butter. That is what we do. But it is all, again, we need to remember, it is all in light of the gospel, in light of what God has done for us already. Paul says, therefore, and he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters. He doesn't say, I command you. He says, I encourage you, I implore you, please make the most of the rest of your life by giving yourself to God. What a community we could be if we were all doing that every day, totally giving ourselves to God. And again, it is when we do that, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is for our own lives. So if we get the general universal thing really right, then the rest of it will all come so much more naturally. To finish, I just want to say these verses over you, actually, just as Paul does to the Romans as he writes to them. I just want to implore you to give yourselves to God. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.